You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8, and I read from the Good News Translation this morning, which is the same translation as your Pew Bibles. So if you'd like to follow along, it is on page 74 of the New Testament, the later Testament in your Bibles, and we'll go ahead and read this reading together. The words will also be on the screen for you as well. After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on Sunday morning at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us at the entrance of the tomb?" After all, it was a very large stone. Then they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back. So they entered the tomb, where they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were alarmed. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here is the place where he was placed. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and ran from the tomb, distressed and terrified. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord, word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks for who you are as we say together, Amen. I am going to try and do this without presenting massive spoilers for some television shows. Apologies in advance. But I have found that there is nothing that can damage the legacy of a long-running television show like a lackluster finale. In the years 2011 until 2019, there was no hotter topic of conversation than HBO's version of George R.R. Martin's book, The Game of Thrones. Everyone waited on bated breath for the next set of episodes to arrive, even waiting an entire 13 months between season 7 and season 8, the last season. And then the finale happened. It was almost universally hated. And it seems like the entire world just decided to just move on and never return again to Westeros. And the reason why is no secret. The quality of the broadcast had some very glaring misses, the editing mistakes, including that Starbucks cup sitting in the middle of a scene, and really the story just came to a very anticlimactic ending. The TV show How I Met Your Mother was equally hot from the years 2005 to 2014, but I have to tell you what happened 2 days after the final episode showed on March 13th, 2014. That was on a Monday. I went to church on Wednesday, and I got tackle-hugged by a sophomore in high school because he was so upset with how that finale went. And as a fan of that show, I have to tell you that, the finale undermined the show in a very infuriating fashion. In the 90s, there was no bigger television sitcom than that of Seinfeld. I remember the marketing for this final episode. It felt like there was an end of an era coming to television. And the finale has polarized its vast audience to this very day. The characters somehow end up on trial, and the whole final episode devolves into an overly fussy clip show. It is an ending that is hardly befitting of one of the greatest television sitcoms of all time. Today's gospel reading feels a bit like these unsatisfactory endings. But it is my hope that it does not damage the legacy of Jesus or even damage the legacy of Mark. Mark's version of the resurrection story has all of the hallmarks of the other gospels, but it does have one glaring omission. Did you catch it? The story goes in Mark's gospel how it does in most of the other gospels. An assortment of the women who follow Jesus go to the tomb early in the morning. And they go with spices, then they're prepared to anoint the body of Jesus when they experience this massive swerve in the story. They arrive at the tomb not only to find it open, but to find it empty, except for the divine presence that is there in the tomb. A young man tells them everything that they need to know. The young man in the tomb gives them very specific instructions for what they're supposed to do next. And what is it that they do? Do they believe in the gospel? Do they go and tell the disciples all that they're supposed to be telling the disciples and live the rest of their lives serving Jesus? While the music swells and the screen fades to black and we're then treated to where are they now type of eclipse as the story goes on? No. The Gospel of Mark ends with this deeply unsatisfying ending. We're told in the scriptures that the women go from the tomb bewildered and confused and scared, and here's the biggest part, they say nothing to anyone because they are afraid. We don't even get a to be continued type of a message. That's just how the Gospel of Mark ends. You can almost hear the record scratching as the gospel is brought to a screeching halt. I mean, an ancient editors did find a way to add at least 4 alternate endings to the Gospel of Mark, but the general consensus is that this is how the story ends. The women leave the tomb, and they say nothing because they are afraid. Afraid is the last word in the Gospel of Mark, at least in the English version. That's not a great ending, is it? But in Koine Greek, the original language of the New Testament, it is even wilder because the last word of the Gospel of Mark is a preposition. It's the word gar, meaning for or because. And it is just left dangling there, completely unresolved. Open-ended. Unsatisfactory. If I can be a nerd for just a moment, I want you to know that Koine Greek is not a language that depends upon word order, as translators have to navigate declensions and tenses and predicate nominatives. But to end a sentence in a preposition is strange, just as it is in English, so it is in Greek. So I ask you this morning, could there be a worse possible ending to the gospel? I mean, this is Easter Sunday, after all. And we've read from the gospel where Jesus doesn't even show up. And the women threaten the entire enterprise by being too afraid to speak, to tell all that they had seen and all that they had experienced. Where could the good news of the gospel possibly be found? Does the proclamation of the most important piece of news in human history just fizzle out? Do the same words that apply from one of the critics of How I Met Your Mother at the end of the series wrote that there is the show ends with a dull slide whistle following years of bombast? Is that how the gospel ends too? Obviously not. At some point, the women tell someone something. Because obviously we are here, generations later, celebrating the good news that eluded Mark's gospel. At some point, which is corroborated by the other gospels, the women run into Jesus, who went ahead of them to Galilee, or Jesus appeared to them, or something happened. But that's not what Mark gives us. The gospel just trails off. It ends with the potential to only intensify the fear and uncertainty that the women were feeling. It is an unsatisfactory ending. Or is it? Or is it? The more I think about it, and the more I wonder at the possible reasons why Mark wrote in the way that he did, why history has tacked on more satisfactory answers to the story, and why the whole gospel was canonized in the Bible the way that it was, the more this all feels intentional and fitting. And maybe, just maybe, the best way that a gospel could end. The gospel is unfinished. The gospel is unfinished in the same way that God's work in our world is unfinished. Despite the ambiguous ending, the main facts of the story do not change. The glaring omission is overcome. Dear friends in Christ, we rejoice because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen just as he said he would be. He is risen just as the women have seen but could not say. Jesus is not in the tomb, but rather has gone ahead to Galilee so that it could all start over where it started in the first place. They go back to Galilee where it all began so that it may begin all over again. Yes, my friends, at the resurrection, it all begins over again. But this time the disciples are essential to its ending. Because there in Galilee, the disciples meet the risen Jesus. The disciples eventually attend his heavenly ascension and receive the power of the Holy Spirit and find their dramatic conclusions in the way that they use the rest of their lives to proclaim the life-giving gospel. And so the story is not finished, not fully. The story continues to unfold and unfold as it is told over and over and over again. The truth of the gospel and the reality of this day is that you are the end of the story. You are the end of the story. You, exactly how you have come here today, you, exactly as you find yourself today, you are a part of this narrative. Because Jesus died for you. And Jesus was raised to new life for you. You are the end of the story. At least for now. And it is up to you to decide where the story is going to go next. The inconclusive ending of the gospel invites us to play a part in this resurrection as the gospel inspires us to action. The resurrection invites us to live differently, to let our lives reflect the risen Jesus, and to live unafraid as the women eventually become. The resurrection invites us to rewrite our own stories, to go back to those unsatisfactory endings and to write something new. And the resurrection invites us to pass on the narrative to someone else so that the gospel remains unfinished and so that the gospel is not tarnished in its legacy. Would you pray with me? Risen and reigning Christ, we give you thanks for this day. Truly, we give you thanks for this day and for the opportunity to proclaim you risen, you living, you among us. The story feels like it has reached its conclusion. You are alive and you reign in heaven, but you have made us a vital part of the story. And so the story continues. Inspire and empower us to share you with someone else so that all may come to know of your love and know of your care, so that all may come to know that their story doesn't also have this tarnished end, but that you have the power to make all things new. Let us live lives that are inspired by your gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.